I'm interested in this research is the question of how grammatical structures of a language resource the actions that make up our everyday lives, and in particular, whether when people speak different languages that have in some way inevitably different grammatical structures, whether that means they end up doing different things in their everyday lives. And this is, in some respect, this is an evergreen of the social sciences to think about the social or cognitive or cultural consequences of language diversity. But funnily enough, I find interestingly enough, to my knowledge, that there hasn't been any work looking at whether or how grammatical structural differences play out in actual everyday interactions. And so this is where our interest in household work mainly comes from, to look at some everyday practical activity and see how grammatical differences between languages come into that. Now, doing household work, of course, involves a lot of nonverbal activity. You don't get the plates into the dishwasher just by talking, but it also probably complex human institutions such as a household wouldn't work without talking either. So you have things that you need to establish with your partner what needs doing and what doesn't need doing. You have to talk to organize and coordinate how it's going to be done, when, by whom, and so on. You'd need to make sure that things that you don't end up with two car insurances and so on. So talking is useful or necessary in a couple of contexts. And talk about household work can come in a variety of forms. According to the inventors of the NECPOD, it comes in imperatives such as cancel that DVD poster thing because you never watch them, or helpful observations like the decking could do with the wash, and things like that. We focused on a particular form for a TCU, which would be a declarative statement using a modal that expresses necessity. Something that you would have in English with formulations such as "we must phone the car insurance," or in Polish you would have a parallel construction "musimy X," which is also a person marked "we have to do X" statement. But the interesting thing about Polish in this respect is that there is another kind of construction, and in other Slavonic languages as well, which is impersonal. Impersonal verbs such as trzeba x. Trzeba is an impersonal verb that means it cannot be marked for person. It's awkward to give a gloss in English, but it could be something like one has to do x, it is necessary to do x. Now these sound a bit funny in English, and of course the point is in Polish they don't sound funny at all. They don't sound like evading person reference. But we were interested in looking at these trzeba x, one has to do x TCUs, to see what kind of action do they do. Do they do the same kind of action as "we must do X" in English or not? And just to show you a little bit of a kind of general overview of the kind of data that we have about 9 hours each of video recordings in people's homes from Polish families and from English families, which very roughly in these 9 hours we find about 100 episodes where people bring up some kind of household work in their interaction. And the point of this slide is just to say that this trzeba X formulation in first position, one has to do X in first position, is not an exotic or rare thing in Polish interaction. It plays a part in about 1/4 of all the episodes that we have found. Okay, to give you an impression of what this trzeba X TCU does, what it looks like, we'll have a look at one fragment which you have on your handout. So you can, this is the opportunity for you to practice your Polish, but I will also pause the recording in some relevant places. The situation is that Jacek and Ilona are a couple who are having dinner here with their two sons, Bolek, who's about 11, and Szymek, who's about 3, but the boys have both run off, and the trouble for the parents is now to get the boys back to the table so that they finish their food.
Hi. Pokaż mi moją zagadkę.
Bartoszu.
Bartoszu, nie drażni się.
Nie,
a teraz... Nie, to
parents have been successful in getting the older son to come back to the dinner table, he's complaining about what his younger brother is doing and doesn't get much attention from his parents, runs off straight away again. So we are now at line six, where this older son, Bolek, is calling out to the younger son, Shimek. And what happens now, after a little pause, the father, Yatsek, uses one of these Cheba X turns. One will have to, Moshe Cheba Bukov Yanch, maybe one would have to get him. Okay, and what happens after this, immediately, it has already started, Ilona starts moving back in her chair to get up, and as she does so, she says, I'm getting him right now.
Shami, chodź, słoneczko. Hi.
Okay. So this fragment shows some of the qualities that are characteristic of the use of these Cheba X TCUs in first position. Namely, firstly, the problem, the thing that is at stake, the thing that is the issue, is treated as already available, as kind of commonly perceptible by the person who produces the Cheba X TCU. In this case, in line 8, it is Yatsek who says, maybe one would have to get him, using him, a locally subsequent person reference in locally initial position, and thereby displaying that he's treating the problem as already something that is already available for both of them to know about. Also, there's in these Cheba X TCUs, there's a preference for accepting the necessity, maybe unsurprisingly, but accepting the necessity by contributing to the doing of the action. That is, what we do not find is one person saying, maybe one would have to get him, and the other person nodding or saying yes or giving some other, forwarding the action in some other careful way like that, in a conversational way. But there's something more decisive going on, some actual action towards bringing it about. And also, the last reason why I formulated this in this somewhat complicated manner is that it is not always it is not necessarily the responding person doing the action, but contributing to getting it done. So it might be one has to call mom, and the second person saying, it's on the cupboard there, it being the phone. So it's not always the person in second position who actually does the action. And lastly, there is a preference for doing it now. When people don't contributing to it now immediately. When it doesn't happen immediately, people say something like, oh, I think in half an hour is early enough. So there is an account for not why not now in second position. Okay, so a kind of gloss that I'm using at the moment to describe what these Cheba X turns in first position are doing is to say that they point to an objective necessity that needs getting done as soon as possible. And the question now is, well, is that an action that does not exist in English-mediated interactions? One way to find out would be to look for TCUs in first position in English interactions that are formally similar. So for example, we could look at TCUs in first position that look like this, either in English or in Polish. We need to do X, musimy X. And you have one example of this on the reverse side of your handout, just bring it to you.
Coco, you're gonna spill this. Yes.
You still need to bone up the Sainsbury's insurance to renew it.
Yes.
I was gonna do it earlier, but I'm not sure what time the lines are open until. I don't know if we do that tomorrow.
Mm.
We've got to go shopping, so we need get groceries.
Coco, please.
Okay, so we need to, generally speaking, we need to do X in first position that we have in our data are not like the Cheba X that we have in our data, and they are different in these ways. What they do is they raise an issue for planning, I would say. So they don't treat the issue as already available. They don't, the mum, Marianne, doesn't say, oh, we still need to phone them. She says, we need to phone Sainsbury's car insurance. The issue is not treated as already available. The response is, I've called it conversational, I don't know what a good term would be. What I mean is that there is, in the first instance, a yes-no response, which can be a yes, as in this case, but it can, of course, be a mm-hmm or a nodding or something like that. And it is never responded to by carrying out the action, so Ed does not get up and call Sainsbury's car insurance immediately. The other possible formally similar TCU that we find in English-mediated interactions are TCUs of the form must do X, which have no person marking as well, where the person marking is left out or whatever you want to call it. And we have an example in fragment 3 of that.
Can you get
Bib
on in for you, please,
babe? Sure.
Thank you.
Head forward, please. Officer
likes
breakfast.
Okay, and Joe goes on to actually put the Bib on the baby. Again, these must do X TCUs are clearly do quite a different action from the Trevor X TCUs. Namely, what they do is, I forgot his name. Sun Yong Oh, yes, I think that's his name, has described these so-called zero anaphora TCUs in English interaction. And one thing that he says often happens with this kind of TCU, one thing it often does, is that it displays, that the TCU does a secondary action in relation to another action that is adjacent to that TCU. And that makes a lot of sense to me here. We have the must get you a bib is a kind of disrupting the ongoing activity that Cheryl is involved in, and is preparatory in some way to the main action of her turn, which is the request, can you get a bib on it for me, please, babes? And of course, the important observation is that must get you a bib does not have the efficacy to involve her partner as the Cheryl X turns do. So Joe only responds to what it is that she's saying towards the end of her second TCU, the request, can you get a bib on him for me, please? During the please, that is when he interrupts playing with the baby with this ball and displaying that he's attending to what his wife is saying. Okay, so these were the possibilities that I can find for looking for the same action by looking for TCUs that are constructed in a similar fashion in English. The next part of the story would now be to show how Trzeba X turns in Polish differ from, say, requests in Polish, which we also have, to requests of the can you do X type, and from imperatives in Polish, do X, which we also have. But this is for another day. But I think what I can show, even though I haven't shown all of it, what I can show is that yes, these diverse language structures do resource specific diverse actions in everyday life. And I mean, in a more general, in some sense, I think this isn't big news for conversation analysis, because of course people like Heritage, Raymond, Gene Lerner, have shown how particular grammatical structures resource specific actions in English. What I'm showing here, what I'm trying to show, is that actually this might have a good potential to do some useful work for asking about cross-cultural diversity. And it brings to the fore for me some kind of mind-boggling questions. If it is the case that people in this one community speaking one language get to do other actions than people in this community, you might ask, well, I've said to you, how many actions are there in human everyday life? This is maybe a silly question. It might not actually be answerable, or it might be answerable in principle, but it captures some of the, for me, mind-boggling nature of human action. It brings to the fore some of the question of, well, how do people ever get to do this kind of action or that kind of action? Because surely the the meaning of this Trevor X term that I've described is not in the grammatical structure. It is not the case that the grammatical structure of Trevor makes people do this kind of action, and it's not in any other social or cognitive structure that we could identify. So we're kind of, for me, this question of how can we make sense of the possibility of human action comes to the fore again. So where's the meaning of an action, and what is the place of grammatical structures in the story? And also, can we say something, I find it difficult to say something about this without getting into some kind of talk about a bigger picture. I mean, I think it's quite tempting with this particular topic to end up saying things like, well, yes, the Polish people, they are more interested in communal living together. They involve the other person in an unproblematic manner and expect the other person to kind of be immediately available to help. Whereas the English people, they are more concerned about individual autonomy and not being imposed upon and so on, and these issues that Alexandra talked about in relation to managing directives in English interactions. And I think these capture something as a description, but of course not as an explanation. So the question is again, well, how do people end up being that way if they grow up in one community and being that way when they grow up in another community? And just one kind of last slide with some going into this big picture issue a bit more. We could say that, well, a person is the sum of all the actions that he gets to do during a day, which would be maybe a kind of what I understand to be similar to a kind of Wittgensteinian or Median way of thinking about these issues. And if we try to do that, we find some differences in the big picture. So in the Polish interactions that we have, a bulk of actions in first position is made up by these Trzeba X turns and straightforward imperatives, do X, directed at an adult. These two together make up a bulk of the episodes of dealing with household work in the Polish data. Whereas in the English, the single most frequent format for bringing up household work, which makes up the bulk of our data, are yes-no interrogatives, which of course themselves carry various actions, mostly, in our case, suggestions. Do you fancy home base today to see if they got a bin? Also sometimes requests, can you do X? Also offers, do you want X? But of course what these have grammatically in common is that they specifically provide a slot for the other person where the other person's potential rejection could happen, however dispreferred such an occurrence is. So I think there are some interesting big picture issues here in terms of expecting the other's availability for involvement in household work or dealing with issues of individual autonomy. Okay, a big thank you to our participants, to the ESRC for giving us some money, and of course to you for having me here.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jörg. Questions? I can see some. Andrew?
First one. Have you looked at English structures? You've looked at we need to put the bins out. Have you looked at the bin needs putting out?
Yes. We don't. This construction, we have it a couple of times. The X needs, something needs X. We only have that in our data, at least. We only have that in contexts where there's a clear difference in expertise. So we don't have the bin needs taking out or so. We have the sausage need. Well, should I fry this sausage or is it not important? Well, it needs frying, but do X first or something like that. So where there is some one person giving instructions to another person, only in this very specific kind of context.
And it's an unexpert who's being directed.
Well, it's kind of, it seems like the person is kind of, yeah, it happens in our data, it happens in the context of seeking advice. Yeah.
Right.
Should I do this or should I do that?
I kind of feel my wife says the bin needs putting out, and I am the expert bin putter outer in our family. At least I'm the only one that puts the bins out, to put it that way.
I mean, I've had exactly your question with exactly the example of the bin, so it might actually be something that does happen, but we haven't found
anything similar.
Maybe it's just bins. Similar.
Thanks.
We haven't done anything similar.
Okay.
I was just thinking that the tasks you've got in different temporal courses, say, sorry again, how insurance is something you can run over a month, whereas in the field, the kids get back in the kitchen, at least a short time. So I was wondering if you want to do the comparisons, whether you have to find two actions with the same, I guess the same temporal structure to deal with. So I guess either the phone ringing, like, or I guess, or having no instance where the child's without a room. So that, I was just sort of thinking that around those issues in meters.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was just my starting point to look for different ways of formulating it, of building a TCU, if you like. And there, the outcome of that is that, yes, Sheba X turns are predominantly, although not only, but predominantly used for things that can actually be done immediately, whereas we need to do X is predominantly used to raise something that needs planning, something that can be done over the next day, 2 days, whatever. So I think the next... what we find in the English interactions with things that could happen or should happen immediately would be suggestions like, do you want to do the X? Do you want to give Sissy her yogurt? Sissy is the daughter, or formulations like that. So yeah, this is the second step that I haven't talked about here. Rather than looking at similarly formulated TCUs, look at actions that seem in some way to be doing an analogous job, if you like, which would be suggestions in the English cases predominantly, but also less so requests.
Any questions or comments? Yeah.
In the Chebex TCUs, do you see a preference for does the recipient often do the action? Is there any sort of preference there? Because you say that sometimes they don't actually perform the action, but they do something relevant, like give a suggestion as how the initiator could solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Does there seem to be any implicit directness there?
Mm-hmm. I think it is often the other person ending up doing the action. So one thing that I can't really say it with any certainty, but a hunch that I'm following up at the moment is that Sheba X turns, if you take this concept of entitlement that Curl and Drew have talked about in relation to requests, that Sheba X turns can work as a more entitled way of getting the other to do it.
Sure.
In relation to can you do X. We have some cases where people start, one has to cut the bread, and then they interrupt the TCU and change it to could you cut the bread or whatever. Often who's supposed to do it is available in other ways or is displayed in other ways locally. Like here in this case, you might have noticed that the husband, he keeps looking at the plate that he is
mm-hmm.
cutting something on.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even look up at all. Often, sometimes at least, it's mothers having one small child in one arm, the other child sitting on the knee and eating with the foot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, just where it would be very kind of all put together. So to answer your question, yes. I think my impression is I can't say it yet. I think that's an ongoing part of it. I'm not sure about it myself. My impression is that these Sheba X turns really do a kind of, they mention something that is obvious, and then who does it is kind of more locally worked out, more locally.
Probably unfair, because it's regarding the data you've got. I just wonder whether you have data of mixed families, where a Polish person with a British person is together. Because just from own experience, I often speak English words but German structures. And you might find in those kinds of situations
mm-hmm.
that you hear or you find utterances that are more alike to the Sheba X
mm-hmm.
than you find in the pure English
mm-hmm.
or the British.
Yeah, we do have recordings from bilingual couples
mm-hmm.
where the couples speak English with each other in all of them, unfortunately. But yeah, for this purpose, that's fine. I mean, of course, I think people are very flexible. If you start living your life in England through English with an English husband, if you have meaningful relationships with people through English, then you become a different person than if you have a meaningful relationship
mm-hmm.
through Polish, in my experience. what we do have, for example, we had a data session where my colleague was showing a recording of a Polish English couple, and people experienced the lady as being somewhat bossy, as being kind of, well, the boss around the kitchen generally, even though she was actually, it wasn't her kitchen, it was the partner's kitchen. She was kind of, well, it wasn't, there wasn't any kind of obvious bossiness, but this is something that often people say. They have get this impression that the Polish person speaking English is a bit bossy. Of course, they don't use Czeba externs in English by necessity, but this way of being more direct than maybe people in English interaction would be, that is something that we definitely find in those data, or at least an impression that people who watch those data regularly seem to have.
Any more questions? Okay, well, thank you, Eva, for a really interesting talk. Thank you.